Let me greet all of our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and it's exciting week in and week out to be able to share the Word of God with you. Let me just remind all of our campuses that this Friday and Saturday is our summit services that's going to be right here at the North Campus. It begins Friday night at 7 o'clock and then back in here at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, where we come together as all the campuses in one location, in one place. Pastor Jeremy Foster from Houston, Texas, is going to be here to be our speaker, and so we want to encourage all of you to be here, and also North Campus, I want to encourage you to be here as well this Friday and this Saturday. We've been talking about this whole process of from this day forward. Now, how many of you have understood that once you get married, it's for life? All right, half of you. I'm going to try to convince the rest of you in the next 4 weeks. Okay. Now, last week we talked about seeking God as part of what we're to do as married couples. And let me say this to you. If you're not a married person today, I promise you, whatever we're going to be speaking on over the next few weeks, you can take it and you can use it in your life. Maybe it's going to be somewhere down the road when you get married. And let me say this to you. You may never get married. You may be single all of your life. There's nothing wrong in that. In fact, the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament was single. Jesus was single. Wow, I'm giving revelation to some of you, I can tell. Right? I mean when you begin to study scripture, singleness is not a bad thing, but marriage is not a bad thing either. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to strengthen marriages and to help people in their marriage. So take your Bibles, go to the book of Ephesians if you would today. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read to you just a few verses of scripture that I think can be of benefit to you as we look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin in verse number 22. It says, in fact, let me back up. This is not on the screen, but let me back up to verse 21. I should not have left this out. In fact, for the second service, have this scripture in there as well. Submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. All right, then, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. But look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, we're going to talk today. Here's what we're talking about today, and I thought I ought to read some scripture to kind of set the foundation for you. We're going to talk today about fighting fair. All right? Now, when I say fighting, I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about punches. All right? So don't go there. Here's what Ruth Bell Graham said, Billy Graham's wife. She said, a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. Amen. Right? How many of you are married? Wow, that's a lot of you in this room, and those of you watching, I'm sure there's a lot. Let me say this to you. If you don't learn how to forgive, you're going to be miserable. Right? Here's the reality. All couples fight. I can remember I was a young pastor years and years ago, and I visited a guy who was quite a bit older. In fact, his wife had just died, and I had one of the deacons of the church with me, and we went to visit him. This was when I was pastoring in Adamsville, and so we went in, and I was trying to console him and talk to him about it, and he looked at me, and again, I'm at this point, you know, I might have been 30. I don't even know if I was that old, and he looked at me, and he said to me, he said, my wife and I never had a cross word. And I was just blown away. And so I'm leaving, and there's this guy that's with me who's older than I am. He's probably, you know, he was an old man. He was probably in his 50s. You know, when you're in your late 20s, that's old. And I looked at him. I said, do you and your wife, I mean, I said, I don't understand never having a cross word. And he said, he'll lie to you about something else too, preacher. Right? How many of you know that the short answer to why we have those arguments and fights and whatever is because of sin. Our sinfulness leads us to do selfish things, and because of that, we find ourselves not doing what we want to do. Now, let me say this to you. All couples fight, but healthy couples fight fair. All right, I'm gonna try to help us today. And again, if you're married or you're not married, you can use this in your relationships, okay? So take this thing. Healthy couples fight for resolution, all right? They fight fair, first of all, but secondly, they're fighting for resolution. They're trying to get past something. They're trying to get to a place that they can come to a good place in that. Unhealthy couples fight for personal victory. To prove that they were right. Come on, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to see how honest you are. How many of you have ever fought, you've ever discussed, you've ever had what I call intense fellowship just to prove you were right? Come on, hold your hand up. Rest of you lying and you're going straight to the devil. Come on, I know, I may have done it this week knowing I was going to preach this sermon. Now, let me say this about this series. The reason I don't like preaching these series is they come too close to home, right? The book of James says this, and we're going to spend a little time here. The book of James, the first chapter, verse 19 and 20, James says this to us. He said, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become what? Angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Wow. Right? The first thing that he says is that we need to be quick to listen. All right? Quick to listen. That's the first thing. When there's this fight brewing, when there's things beginning to go on, what happens is we tend to escalate quickly, right? And what James is saying to us here is, look, what we need to do is you need to take the initiative in that moment. You need to do your part and try to calm things down. Let me ask you a question. How many of you remember the last disagreement you had with your spouse? Wow. The next series is going to be a 10-parter on lying. Now, maybe the problem was you say, Pastor, there's been so many, I just can't remember. Then this sermon's really going to help you, right? See, here's what happens to us is in the moment that we are at, when that intense fellowship starts, what we do is that we escalate. See, as soon as you realize your partner is upset, you should get laser focused on what they're saying. When that tone, you know the tone. It don't have to be a loud tone either. Now, I'm one of those guys, I get loud, all right? I don't know. It's just the way I'm wired. Sherry go, quit yelling. I go, I'm not yelling. You'll know it when I'm yelling. Right? Some of you have heard me say this. I think for the first year, I believe every day she was crying about something I did. I mean, for the first year of marriage, I had her crying the entire time. It's like, good Lord, what did I do now? And all guys know this. What did I do? Nothing. And you know you're in trouble when they say that, right? And so what we have to do in that moment, sometimes we have to ignore the tone or the volume. With me, it's the volume. You have to ignore that and try to listen to the words that are being said. What is it that the Apostle James here writing to us is that we need to be quick to listen. Now, most of us are quick to respond, right? Most of us are quick to come, well, I'll show you, I'll tell you. But the Word of God lets us know that the way to diffuse that situation, again, not just in marriage, but in every situation, the way to diffuse that is to be quick to listen. Hear what the person is saying. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have trouble remembering people's names when you meet them? That's the majority of us. And anytime I ask this question, it's the majority. You know why the reason is that we don't remember people's names? Well, I got part-timers and I got most-timers or all-timers or, you know. No, it's because, here's why. Because when we meet somebody, we're thinking about what we're going to say next. And so because we're thinking about what we're going to say next, we don't hear what they say to us their name is. Okay? And it's the same way in a disagreement. What we're doing is instead of listening to the person, we are ready to give an answer, and we're not even listening to what's being said. All right? The second thing the Apostle James said to do was, he said, be slow to what? Speak, right? Slow to speak. Don't open your mouth too quick. Too often I've seen couples fight dirty instead of fighting fair. All right? They do just the opposite of being slow to speak. I mean, they're quick. They're going at it, all right? Proverbs, the 18th chapter in the second verse says this, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinion. Amen. Well, I'll give you a piece of my mind. Well, you think I'm bad, let me tell you. I love Christians. I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, you do. The writer of Proverbs, in other words, he says, a fool says, hey, I don't really care what you're saying, but let me tell you what I'm thinking. And the Word of God says that you're a fool when you do that. And yet that's what we find in our relationships throughout life is as soon as the temperature turns up, as soon as the heat comes in, we begin to immediately say, I'll tell you. The Apostle James says, look, be slow to speak. Proverbs 21:23 says this, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Wow. Keep your mouth. Come on, you know you've been told that in the middle of one of these. Why don't you just shut your mouth, right? How many of you have learned in life that there's that moment in the air that you know it's getting ready to escalate, right? It's not a gift of the Spirit, right? It's not divinely given. It's just, it's in that moment. You just sense it. It's coming to that point. Now here's what we, in that moment, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions, okay? And I'm going to give them to you real quickly. Number one is, should what I'm thinking be said? And I'm going to tell you, most of the time, the answer to that is no. Be quiet. Because I'm going to tell you, I've gotten in trouble for things I've said, but if I'd said everything I thought, it'd be nasty. All right. In fact, if I said everything I thought just when I'm preaching, it wouldn't be good. All right. So ask yourself, should what I'm thinking be said? And secondly, should what I'm thinking be said right now? Boy, I hope you're taking good notes. Right now. Because sometimes it needs to be said, but the moment's not right. And so you need to ask yourself. And then the third thing that the Apostle James said was, he said, be slow to anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Well, one of the best ways that you and your spouse can become slow to anger is by communicating regularly and honestly when you're facing conflict. See, one of the things that we don't do is that we don't fight fair. All right, I'm going to tell you some things not to do in a few minutes, okay? But we don't fight fair, and so we haven't learned to resolve the conflicts in our marriage, and so what we do is we do one of two things. Either we're the person who just blows up, and I'm a blow-up kind of guy, I'll just tell you, all right? I'm the kind of guy, when, again, Sherry's learned this through the years. You know, when you've been married as long as we have, you got to learn some things. But through the years, I'm the kind, I let it go, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, I walk in, hey, you want to go get something to eat? You know, and she's going, who are you? You just put a knife in my back. What do you mean? Not literally, don't, okay. But the other thing is, some people are like crock pots. Some of us are microwaves, some of us are crock pots. And some of you simmer. Pastor, I just feel it so deeply. That's what I said, you simmer. But oh, help us, Lord, when that thing comes to a boil. Because it is nasty with a capital N, right? And so we need to learn to work on our marriage during non-conflict times. Right? When things are going good, that's the time to be working on things. That's the time to say things like, you know, when you do this, you know, I don't understand why you do. Why do you do this? Don't do that in the middle of that moment, okay? The marriage checkups, okay? Three simple steps. Let's go through them real quickly here. Three simple parts. I want to hit them and move on, okay? Number one is carve out some time to do it. Right? If you got kids, get a babysitter. Get grandma to come over. Get some. Go. Don't try to do it in the middle of trying to take care of kids or pay your bills or whatever. Carve out some time. And in that moment, it's just about focusing on one another, listening to one another. Get the usual distractions out of the house and do that. Secondly, is express gratitude for your spouse. You need to be thankful. I mean, and we've all heard this, if we would do the same thing to keep them that we did to get them, our marriages would be much better. And thirdly is offer practical feedback, all right? If you're a person who you like to be on time and your spouse doesn't understand that, when you're 15 minutes late, that's not the time to be talking about it, because you're mad and they're puffing, because you may not have said anything, but they see that look on your face and they know you're mad because they're 15 minutes late, all right? But down the road, when you got one of those calm moments, all right, that's the time to say, you know what, it's really important. And you need to explain why it's important to you in that. There was a movie, I never saw the movie, but there was a movie out a few years ago called Fight Club. And there was a rule about Fight Club, and the rule about Fight Club is you didn't talk about Fight Club, right? So I want to talk about Fight Club. I want to give you the rules of Fight Club real quickly here, so that I can get into the rest of the sermon today. Here are some ground rules. Let's get to the ground rules of Fight Club. You ready? I'm not going to do it if you're not ready. You ready? All right. Number one is never call names. And I get in trouble for this one, because I don't mean it. It's just, why y'all looking at me? If I can't tell the truth to you, who can I tell it to, right? All right, it's not in that, but it's just, don't call names. Because why? Because it's denigrating to do that. Secondly, oh, help me, Jesus. Why am I doing this? Why am I preaching this series? I should have let somebody else preach this series. Never raise your voice. Help me, Lord. They wouldn't know I was talking if my voice wasn't raised sometimes. By the way, let me blame all this on Craig Groeschel. Craig Groeschel wrote this book called From This Day Forward. I would encourage everybody to get it. You can get it through Amazon, and we're basing this whole series on there. So part of what I'm preaching is not out of my experience, it's out of Craig's experience, okay? So never raise your voice. Number three is never get historical. I did not say hysterical. Never get historical. Now, what I mean by that, well, you always, come on, you ever said that? You know good and well that's not true. Well, you're just always late. Well, they're not always late, they're just late most of the time. Well, you just always leave your socks in the floor. No, one of them found the hamper back in 1963. Don't get historical. And the other thing is, once you've dealt with things, don't dig them back up. Well, I saw you, you know. I know we talked about this a year ago, but I know how you acted. No, wait a minute. If you forgave them, you need to go on. Amen. Never use words like never or always. Well, you never do this, or you're always doing that. Because we know that's not true. But boy, in that moment, y'all want me to preach on blessings or the Holy Spirit or anything at this point, don't you? Because this is just really too real, isn't it? I want to give you two more, and these may be the two most important ones. Ready? The next one there is never threaten divorce. Say it again. Never threaten divorce. We're going to be talking about covenant before this series is over. You are not in a contract, you are in a covenant. You can't use the word divorce. Again, to quote Ruth Graham again, she said, Billy and I never talked about divorce. We did think about murder a few times. Don't do that either. That's not an option for some of you. I just want to make that clear. All right? Don't bring divorce into. Don't. Well, I'll show you. No. No, divorce is not, especially to a Christian. Divorce is not an option. Lastly, this one's a really important one. You ready? Never quote your pastor during a fight. Well, pastors, leave me out of it. I got a pastor, both of you. Don't get them mad at me. Let's talk about anger management real quick. Sometimes there's just some things you got to learn to let go of if you want to have a great marriage. I am learning again. This sermon is so convicting for me today. I'm learning that there are some things just not worth fighting over. Now, used to, I fought about everything. I'll just tell you. Green, no, it's blue. And Sherry has decided in the last couple of years that I'm colorblind. Now, I don't think I'm colorblind, but Sherry tells me I'm colorblind. And so I'll say such and such a color, and she'll go, no, it's not that color. I go, it is, too. It is not. And she'll tell me what it is, and I go, it's not that color. And she goes, I'm just telling you it is. And she'll just turn around and walk off. Which is good, because in that moment, I'm probably going to, pull out a color spectrum and try to prove that I'm right. Now, here's what the scripture says. The book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, back to Ephesians again. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, it didn't say you can't get upset. It didn't say you can't be angry. It said just don't sin when you're angry. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Here's what he's saying. He's saying if you take that anger with you, you give the devil a place in your life. And the Bible says that out of that anger will come a root of bitterness, and out of that bitterness it will defile many. All right? So here's my interpretation of that. Never go to bed mad. Stay up and fight. That's what he said. I'm not making it up. Do not give the devil a foothold. What in the world does that mean? What are we supposed to do? Well, what he's saying is don't allow that unresolved anger. See, some people do what I call gunny sacking. You understand what that means is they carry this sack on their back, and every time you do something, they throw it in there. And then they throw something else in there. And then they throw something else in there. There's two things that happen here. First of all is that sack gets really heavy after a while. And so they're struggling carrying all this stuff. See, because here's what I found. In most relationships, and especially in most marriage relationships, there's two kind of people that are in that relationship. And thankfully they are, because again, think about this. If we were both alike, one of us would be unnecessary. Come on, you get that, okay? So we need to be different. We need to have our unique personalities and all that. But you have, usually in a marriage, you have one who kind of suffers in silence, and you have the other one who's the puffer and the huffer and blow your house down. Right? And so what happens is that we've got one, if they're not careful, who's just throwing everything in this bag. I'm trying to help some of you today. I'll help your marriage if you'll listen to me. And so what happens is after a while, you're carrying this heavy bag, and every time something is said to you, you run it through the grid of everything else that's in this bag. Now, the problem with that is that bag's going to become so heavy, and one day you're going to throw something back in there, and the whole thing is going to come back up. And when it does, it is so nasty that sometimes it's almost irreparable. You can't put it back together because we've carried this so long. Right? I try in my relationships, whether it's with my wife or with my kids or with my staff or whoever, I try not to do that because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy who, if I've got something to say, I want to say it. Let's deal with the issue and let's move on. Can I say this to you before I give you the four warning signs that you're in trouble? You ready? Some of you not only need to be good forgivers, you need to be good forgetters. Pastor Ron makes fun of me because he says I forget everything, and I do. I even forgot I ordained him. Because he asked me after he came on staff with us, he said, you remember when you ordained me? I said, I ordained you? He said, I can tell it meant a lot to you. That's bad in that sense, but it's really good. I really don't remember conflict. You could come to me and ask me, maybe, you know, we had disagreed about something 6 months or a year ago, and you come to me, Pastor, you remember? I go, you have to remind me, because I really have developed that through the years, especially when I used to do counseling. I realized real quick, if you're going to counsel people, you better learn to forget what they told you, all right, because it's going to bleed into every sermon you preach. So you just got to let it go. You just got to forget it. And so I have literally developed that in my life that I really forget. And some things I ought to remember I ordained him. Anyway, you have to do that. But what happens to us is that we get to the place that our marriage is getting critical condition. So let me give you four warning signs of that you're in a critical place. Number one is when you start criticizing each other all the time. Okay, criticizing is expressing disapproval of someone's character or decisions. All right, and it's that constant. And here's what happens: criticism, if it's left unchecked, takes you to the second step. Okay, and so the second warning sign is, as we look at this, is you move from criticism to contempt. All right, I'll explain that. You move from criticism to contempt. Contempt means despising. I can't believe I married them. I've heard people say that. I don't know what I was thinking. Contempt is when you don't respect or value your spouse's opinion, or perhaps even your spouse. Why is it in our marriages, when our marriage gets sick, we don't ask for help until we've already made the decision to divorce? Amen. In all the years I've pastored, and I can say this really easily today, most of the people that have come to me for counseling, again, I don't do counseling now because we have people who are so much better at it than I am, but all the people who came to me for counseling, none of them came to me when their marriage could be saved. They always came when the marriage was so broke that only a miracle from God could make it happen. And I saw God do some miracles, but it wasn't because of me. It was just because God showed up and took care of it. But if somebody would have on the front end said, you know what, we're sick. Our marriage is unhealthy. We need to get some counseling. We need somebody to speak to us and to help us. And that whole defensiveness thing, what happens is that nobody wants to accept responsibility. We're challenged. It's his fault. It's her fault. No. And then lastly, the last warning sign is this, stonewalling. All right? Stonewalling is that passive-aggressive thing. All right? And it's in that moment, you know, that immature people use that whole passive-aggressive thing to get their way. And here's what I want to say to you. Some of you are at this moment in your life. Some of you who are listening to me today are at this moment in your marriage. And you've already thought divorce. In fact, you may have already said divorce. And what you're doing is you're hoping you can just hold on long enough till some of this blows away. But I'm going to tell you, that person that you look across the table at, that person that I started to say that you sleep with, but it may have got to the point you don't even sleep with them anymore, they're not your enemy. You have only one enemy, and it's not your spouse. The Word of God says that the devil is your enemy. And he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we have intentionally set aside these weeks. On Wednesday night, we're trying to help you with your finances because we know that finances rank right up there, either number one or number two, and why people get divorced. We're using our Sundays, five Sundays, to talk to you about your marriage because we know that according to statistics, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, one out of every two marriages are ending in divorce. And it ought not to be. But we've got to learn to fight fair. And many of us have never understood that it's okay to disagree, but you don't have to be disagreeable. So we've got to learn that this thing called the family is very important. God created the family before he ever created the church. It's important. Your marriage is important. It's vital for you to get this right. Well, I'll just walk out. I'll just leave. Then your odds go up. Because the second marriage is in a higher divorce rate. And third time in a higher divorce rate. And then we just move into what I call serial monogamy. We marry this one for a while, I marry that one for a while, I marry that one for a while, because it's always we're not willing to fix the issues that we're dealing with. So I want to challenge you, and over the next few weeks, we want to give you tools that can help you to have the kind of marriage that you want. It's not going to be the Cleaver family. That's an illusion. I've told you this before. Every family in Scripture that I read about is dysfunctional. Man, I wish I'd been part of David's family. You talk about dysfunction junction. I wish I'd part of Solomon's family. Goodness gracious. Guy's got 300 wives and 600 combines, the guy said. He's a big farmer. dysfunctional. Some of us need to understand that we're fighting for life and death, and that it's our choice that's going to make the difference. And so I would encourage you to join with me today. As for me and my house, we're going to choose what the Lord says. And we're going to choose to be the kind of family God wants us to be. Amen. I want you to bow your heads today. Our campus pastors are coming at their location to close today. I know today that I've talked about marriage and I've talked about families, and some of you are looking at your relationships right now and you're wondering, what's the future going to be? Let me say this to you. With man, things are impossible. But the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. And so I want to encourage you today, if your marriage is not what it needs to be, or maybe you're here today and your marriage has ended in divorce, and maybe the enemy's kind of been putting a lot of condemnation on you today. This sermon was not meant for condemnation. The Word of God says, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. If you've had some failure in your past, and you've asked the Lord to forgive you, that's the Word of God is quite clear. There's no condemnation to you today.